I'm always asking you to pray for me, not only to preach, but also when we're studying. Now, I didn't get much sleep last night, but I'm not complaining. It's really a good night. The Lord put this on my heart, I believe, and also what I'm going to preach about Sunday, the Lord willing. So I had a good time meditating and thinking. So I want you to get your mind off me and put it on what I'm saying. If you could do that, if it'd do any good, I'd hide behind somewhere. I'm not kidding about that. I want you to get this, and I hope you'll be comforted and blessed. I believe God put it on my heart. If he did, he did it for a reason. And I'm going to tell you experience. I've told this before. Some of you probably have heard it because there have been several times in my life I've told this experience. It's such a great experience. I encourage you to always listen in church and expect something in church. You know, we just like when I eat. I've eaten now for 80 years. I can't tell you every meal I ate. But I'm alive because I have been eating. But some meals I really remember. I'm not kidding. Some of them I still remember 8 years ago. That's the truth. I do. But anyway, I've heard a lot of sermons, and all of them have been, I'm sure, a benefit to me. But there's a few times God has blessed me in a special way, and he'll do you the same way. I believe he'll do you the same way. I was probably about 14, 15 years old. I joined the church when I was 13. So I was a young Christian. And this was a wonderful experience. We only met twice a month for a while there in our church at Marsh Memorial. I think they met every Sunday night, but we met on first and third Sundays. I'm glad about my mother and daddy were devout, and they wanted to be in church. So we'd always go the second Sunday here to Shawali Church down at Potts Camp, Mississippi, or we'd go to a Cottonville Church, Cottonville on the second and fourth. And we really enjoyed going to those churches and kind of traveling and singing songs at church and stuff like that. And then on the fourth Sunday, we'd go either to Cottonville or over to Indian Creek, which I wish you're still there. It's in Brighton, Tennessee. It was, which is close to Millington up north of Memphis. So we get to Indian Creek one fourth Sunday, and old brother W.J. Johnson was the pastor. He was not really an able man. He's a good old preacher, and he's as sweet as he could be. But I remember he got up and read this text. I just said, boy, and I began to weep. That's all he had to do, read it. So I'm going to read these two verses to you and try to talk about it tonight a little bit. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. When he read this, I don't know, my heart was warmed. And maybe yours will be too. This is Isaiah 32, 1 and 2. I'm not really a student of prophecy, but I think anybody ought to know what this is talking about. I'm going to call my message tonight, the Messianic King. The Messianic King. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be in a hiding place from the wind, as a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And I knew that Jesus Christ. So let's talk about that just a little bit. I don't know all they're talking about. The commentators have different views. But I think they're talking about now, and maybe even in the eternal state, because the church age is kind of a picture of the eternal state. We're kind of like a forerunner of the eternal state. Even though we're not in heaven yet, and we are not perfect yet, we kind of get a foretaste here when it's like it ought to be. So I think this is right now, maybe in a perfection in heaven. A king shall reign in righteousness. That's obviously King Jesus. And the princes ruling in judgment, I think, are probably the apostles, because they had a special office that nobody has had since that time. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and that's King Jesus. I just love to think about King Jesus. He's the king, you know. He's a prophet, preached and king, but just think about him being the king, and we want to be his loyal subjects. We're royalty, really. We're a royal priesthood, the Bible says. And then he says, a man shall be in a hiding place in the wind. Of course, that's the God-man, obviously the God-man. Let me read it to you. Yeah, I got it memorized, but I'm going to read it. And a man shall be in a hiding place from the wind, as a cover from the tempest, as a river to water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now pay attention, because I'm hoping you can make a personal application. You'd have to almost be a Palestinian, to live in over there to understand how beautiful this kind of stuff is. These people knew what he's talking about. Let's talk about each one of these four things here. I won't take a long time. He's a hiding place from the wind. Now, what about that? Well, if you'll study over there, those winds were burning desert winds, filled with heat. Sometimes sandstorm, blowing sand. I mean, there were something else. They were dangerous. So he said he'll be a hiding place for the wind. People almost just drowned in the heat and the dust, and those winds would blow. And I remember even one time when Judy and I lived in Clinton, Kentucky, this was not those kind of winds, but I tell you what, we lived up on a hill there on Highway 703 in Clinton, Kentucky. And sometime the wind would start blowing, and it'd blow for days. It always drive you nuts. I got so tired of the wind blowing, I thought I was going to go crazy. It just blowing, blowing, blowing. I've heard about people out in the prairie, you know, in Kansas and places like that, the pioneers, they just almost go crazy. That wind just would never stop. Well, have you ever heard the expression, the winds of adversity? That's what they're experiencing over there right now in Afghanistan. Sometime in your life, there may be the winds of adversity. It may be one thing after another, one thing after another. Poor old Titus Cannon, he got real bad allergies. The doctor thinks he may even have to move out of that part of the country. His back is hurting him like it all get out again. And after, when it rains, it pours. And that may be happening in your life sometime. But that's the kind of guy we got, my folks. He's a hiding place from the wind. When people, that wind began to blow and that sand got going, that old hot desert sand, maybe like we've been over at, in Andhra Pradesh, where it's 116 degrees, you can't believe what that heat's like. You got to find a hiding place. He also said a covert from the tempest. Now, that word covert is a beautiful expression. It's really kind of like a, it's just a, maybe a cave or something like that. But that tempest, that's a very strong word in the Hebrew. It's a violent storm. So when you see the tempest coming, you got to run for cover. Guess where you run? You run to the Lord. You run. We kind of see some storm clouds on the horizon now. I don't know what we're going to face in the future, but we need to. We're here to cover it from the tempest. I'm going to read you something about Augustus Toplady. You know that wonderful song we like, "Rock of Ages," cleft for me. Well, I'm going to read you what happened. They think this is legend in a way, but they think it's a true legend. In fact, I'll read this to you. He wrote "Rock of Ages, cleft for me." That a cleft of that rock of ages that you could that he hid out in this song. Legend says that Toplady wrote this hymn during a storm incident in England while traveling along the gorge in Burrington Combs. That's a place in England. He was caught in a fierce storm and took shelter in a gap in the gorge where he wrote the original lyrics. Some disagree on whether that actually happened, but the rock is now marked with a plaque that reads, "Rock of Ages." This rock derives the name, the well-known hymn written about 1762 by the Reverend A.M. Toplady, who was inspired while sheltering in this cleft during a storm. Now, that's an amazing storm. Now, you know, last night it rained. And if you have a storm, it's kind of fun in a storm if you're in a shelter, right? Well, I got out of my room. Judy wasn't here. She's down at the Alabama Helping Mercy out. So, in my room, I really can't hear the storm very well because the bathroom's there and it kind of everything's in the way. So I go into the other room and open the window up, and I had more fun. Let it rain, man. I'm dry. I like it. Let it rain. So you know what? Even if we have adversity, if we're hiding in Jesus Christ, it can be a pleasant experience. It's a terrible storm, but I'm inside Jesus Christ. I'm all right. So you can actually enjoy a storm that way. So he's also a covert from the tempest. And they said the shadow of a great rock, and I've told you about this, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, the heat of those places is absolutely unbelievable. So I've had two experiences in India about that. One time we were in Tamil Nadu, which is where Brother Gunny is, that province of Tamil Nadu. And one thing I like to do a whole lot, and I think they kind of get tired of me doing this, but these guys, these real poor guys, just as poor as they can possibly be, they got a big old pile of coconuts. And so what you do, you stop, and they got a machete. And they knock the top of it off, and they got a straw, you drink the milk out of there. Now, some people like the meat, but I don't like that meat. I do on a dry coconut, and that old slippery stuff I don't like much. I don't know where you do it or not. But anyway, but I always want to stop. Brother, let's stop and get a coconut. The other guy's probably getting tired of me doing that. That stuff is pretty good. Anyway, the point I'm making is one time we were there, we got out, and you talk about hot. Well, the guy who did the coconuts had a little old shed, and instinctively, we all went and stood under that shed. And I'm telling you, at least 10 degrees difference between where we were and that shade. So he's the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And even more dramatic than that, I think I've told you this also, but it's a great experience. When we were up in Andhra Pradesh, and I can remember this, you talk about hot, you can't imagine it. Now, the only way we survived, we had a ceiling fan. We had a little generator and a ceiling fan. I don't think we'd have made it in that concrete block building out right in the middle of a desert really. So when you go to India, you always take your shoes off before you go in a house. That's not just a Christian thing, even though you know, the Lord said, take your shoes off your feet, you're on holy ground, but that you just take your sandals off. Well, I took my sandal off and laid them on the porch. So we have a service, and I come out, and I grab my sandal. Man, it's just like picking up a piece of fire. So I said, I'm going to pick my sandal up and walk to the car. You talk about dumb. I'm kind of slow to learn. The minute my feet hit that sand, I knew I was in trouble. And the guy saw me, the Indian saw me. They grabbed me quickly and got me underneath the tree, and it saved my feet. I tell you, I probably would have permanent damage on my feet. I could not imagine the difference in that place that had shade. So here he says, when we have some burning troubles, he's a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Because it gets kind of hot sometimes. So let me read you a psalm here, just a couple of verses out of Psalm 121 and verses 5 and 6. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. I'm going to read that one again. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Well, then he's one more thing. He's rivers of water in a dry place. And here again, that desert land out there, we can't imagine how dry it is in a desert. The thirstiest I've ever been, this is kind of funny in a way, I was in the Boy Scouts. And the Boy Scouts kind of had an honorary organization called the Era of the Order. I mean, the Order There. You know, the Order There. And man, when you got the Order There, it's a secret kind of thing. You got elected. And you could wear this thing across your uniform. It had an arrow on it. Man, you look like an Indian, you know. But if you got in the Order There, you had to go to the camp courier down, Camp Kai Kima, and had to go through what they call an ordeal. Well, part of the ordeal was all day long, you got to do stuff and you can't drink anything. Well, I'm telling you what, you can't believe going all day without water. And we were so thirsty, it rained, and me and a bunch of other guys, we were getting under these trees and shaking water off the leaves, opening our mouths like that to get a little drink. You're talking about thirsty. So I don't know whether you've ever been thirsty or not, but I tell you, thirsty is terrible. In fact, I want you to Google something if you want to, if you have some fun. You remember the 1967 had the Six-Day War between the Israelis and the Egyptians. And, of course, the Israelis wanted an amazing victory. The whole Arab world was against them. And they won an amazing, well, here's one reason they won. The Israelis are pretty smart people, so they had done some study about hydration, about water. And they had practiced marching guys and doctors watching them and stuff like that. So what they did, they made these Israeli soldiers drink, this is something, folks, in that kind of heat, they made them drink a liter of water every hour. That's amazing. But that's how much they sweat. Well, guess what happened? More Egyptians died from heat exhaustion than they did in the battle. You can check that out. It's amazing what it'll do to you. So that's really something here, a river of water in a dry place. And I got a psalm for you here, Psalm 63:1. And, you know, some of these psalms kind of have a title to them. It's a psalm of David. He's in the wilderness of Judah. So he's in the wilderness of Judah. He's no doubt a very dry place. He's running from Saul in that dry climate. So he wrote this psalm over in 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He wrote that. So that's really all I'm going to say. I want you to remember those four pictures. And I hope you will. Just forget me. You think about that. He's a man should be at a hiding place in the wind. Think about that tonight when you're going to bed. Because the wind's going to blow sometime in your life. The wind of adversity. It may be physical. I've been so down sometimes lately about people I know are sick. So many people are sick. So many people are dying. It's amazing. Judy one time even calculated in the last few months how many people we know have died. And the hospital, Emily and Tim, when they went to the emergency room, they were there for 24 hours because every room in the hospital was full and every room in the emergency room was full. So we're going to have the winds of adversity. We'll probably have some financial adversity. I mean, our government is just foolish what they're doing. All this stimulus money is crazy. You can't just make money out of nothing. We may have hyperinflation. I don't know what we'll face. We've got it made. Now, kids, you got to realize you got it made. When daddy's bringing home that money and we got plenty of food on the table and we're paying our utility bills and we got clothes, we got milk, we're rich. We're rich. Look, the people over there in Afghanistan are not rich like that. People in India are not rich like that. I've told my cousin Philip Ross, Philip, you need to be glad you live in the United States. If you live in the Philippines, you've already been dead. What they do, you throw you out in the street somewhere, pick you up and bury you after you throw you on a garbage dump somewhere, they get all the free medical care. So we got it. But listen, some of these days, the winds of adversity may blow. But you realize that he is going to be our blessing. He's going to be that. When we feel like we're kind of dry, he's got plenty of good old spiritual water for us. You know, over in John 7, the Holy Spirit, the figure of that is the Spirit. So if you're kind of dry right now, say, Lord, you're the fountain of living water. I need some water. I need some Holy Ghost. I need a revival. And so all these four figures here, keep them in mind. Let me read it to you again, and then I'm going to let that be my thing tonight. I just love that, though. I'll tell you what, that still touches me. Last night I had a big time thinking about that. And I'll never forget old brother W.G. Johnson. Old brother Walter Johnson. I wouldn't even remember him, probably. Hadn't been for that. He lived at Jackson, Tennessee. And he got in red debt. And in my heart, a man, get that, a man should be in a hiding place. I knew who they're talking about. That's Jesus Christ. That's a messianic prophecy. A man should be in a hiding place in the wind, as the cover from the tempest, as a river to water in a dry land, and as a shadow, in a thirsty land, and a shadow of great rock in a weary land. So may God bless you tonight. No point in me belaboring the point. Remember that, and think about that, and meditate on that, and read those verses, and draw from that. It's not just an academic lesson I'm teaching you tonight. This is real stuff. That's what Jesus Christ did. He did everything to us. He's our shelter. He's our protector. No matter what happened in our lives, he's going to take care of us. All right, God bless you. Come on, Brother Isaac.